better if you can imagine that if you're going to have a Shabbos with boys or girls, better to have one Shabbos with boys.
Well, that's what we spoke about. Unless it's a group that anyways they're all confused and mixed together all the time. That's a different issue.
But Mordechai Eliyahu, I was sometimes at a couple of his weddings.
He didn't say Shechem
and Ayin. He wouldn't make Kedushin. He says, tell you guys separate.
No.
Unbelievable.
And as a Levaya, I was out as a Levaya, there was a lot of mixture. And I said to them, I said, you know, he didn't want it in his lifetime, it's Patur, he doesn't want it now either. And people, and they knew, they separated.
Yeah. Oh, Hashem. Tov, Shmuel Shapira.
Shmuel Shanaim.
Oh, he was extreme in this. Shmuel was a very silent person, he never spoke too extra, right? You met him. He was a tzaddik of your son, he said.
Huh? Yeah,
but there were only times that you saw him speak a lot. There were times that he spoke a lot. When? People have broken hearts. When people have broken hearts, you had to talk with him, he was the one to go and talk and speak for a long time and say, because it's not for him, he's talking for someone else. He's helping this person out. So then he spoke.
Which was maybe Yitzhak? He wanted him to speak it to the Shlishi?
Garnished. Yeah, we spoke about it, that in the story here, that he told him to read Likutei the Mara, and he said, no, said, no, just read it, everyone reads it. So he read, like, so they understood the point, and they let him go.
With his sons, though,
he pushed him, huh? Oh, with his sons, he learned,
yeah.
When Rav Shmuel lived in Katamon, so, there were the old Hasidim of Brest that used to give his shiur Likutei Mara. And I was young. Who says the story? I don't know who it is. Shmuel Parush said this. And I was young. And I used to, they used to explain something. And I used to say questions about what they explained and everything. Yeah. And as usual, Shmuel was sitting with his hands between his legs and listened carefully to every word that the person was speaking. And when Shmuel saw I was asking all his questions, he looked at me with his eyes and he hinted to me not to ask questions. Later he told me, Shmulik, it's better not to ask the person while he's giving the drasha. Why? He might hurt him, might bother his thought.
Train of thought, right?
He might won't be, could be you're sharper than him, and then your mamash, he might even destroy his whole shit. Right? And that's already on, she could hurt his feelings. Right, it's even in the shir. My shir, I left. You can talk whatever you want. But, sometimes you have to be sensitive to people who speak. Yeah. One year, about 20 of Anash, of Breslev, they went to Meron, Shimon. The Shabbos, which were before Zayin Adar, before the Yotzal Moshe Rabbeinu, as it's known, a lot of people go to Meron, Zayin Adar. And Shalashidus of Shabbos, Shmuel Horowitz was speaking. He's talking about the Kedusha of Rabbi Shuvai Chai and the holiness of Rabbeinu, HaKadosh. And he was talking, he was getting all excited, everything. And he disconnected Mamash from everything that's going around him. And he was all excited, he was all mannered, he was very excited, Shmuel Horowitz. And suddenly he became pale and he started shaking from excitement. He was all this, and Shmuel was sick then. And people started worrying for Shmuel Horowitz. Shmuel Horowitz was sick then, he was old. People started worrying for him. But no one had the courage to go and stop him now. Shmuel continued, everyone saw his weak, he could have died on the spot. He was getting weaker and weaker. His face became like a dead man's face. And it was obvious they had to do something to stop this tragedy. So next to the place, a few of the people, they were dancing there quietly, but it wasn't, but they're not to finish here. Suddenly, Shmuel Shapiro got up and joined the dancing. Everyone saw this, so they get the hint. Everyone got up, started dancing, everything. And he started singing loud. So Shmuel Horowitz awoke from his day. And he stopped his drasha, and he came back to life. Afterwards, Shmuel Horowitz told Shmuel Shapiro, you saved my life. He couldn't stop the Torah, but he almost died from that. Like the story of Rabbi Yosef Yaakov, the Tana, and he went yesterday to his Keva. From the Idra Rabbah, during the giving over, of Shmuel Chai giving over the Idra Rabbah, passed away from the Kedusha, from the light. There was no one there like Rav Shmuel Shapira to dance around him to stop the... Once Rav Shmuel Shapira went in Chatzos Laila, went into the bus of Shul Yer in Chatzos, Jewish in Chatzos, and with the Bacher, Moshe Yitzchak Rubin, who was laying on the bench, resting a little bit. Shmuel saw a young boy laying on a bench without a blanket or anything. He started looking for a blanket, walking upstairs, downstairs, looking for a blanket. So after a few searches, this guy noticed that this Bacher Rubin noticed that Shmuel was searching for him. So he got a cold. So he went, said Tikkun Chatzos in a different place. Ah, one second. What was that? After a while, he realized that he was covering him. The Bacher realized, and the Reb Shmuel went to a different corner and said Tikkun Chatzos quietly, so it doesn't bother the boy. Yeah, everything was so sensitive to others. When his grandchildren were sitting in his house when there was no room in their parents' house, he used to walk around and see that everyone has a blanket and a pillow and this. Simply, a simple person. That's what no one, when the people knew Reb Shmuel, they tell me, you have to understand that Reb Shmuel, he didn't see anything. He was just a simple yid. All these little things show what kind of neshama he was, what kind of holy man he was, especially was. But on him, he didn't see anything. He was just a simple Jew. Well, he never spoke. He couldn't know anything that goes on in him. But for the little things, little thing here, and the little thing, you think the whole story is based on little stories. It's the whole book.
So he never spoke. Did he write books? Is that how?
He didn't speak. He spoke a little bit, but he didn't know. So
why is he such a holy man?
He acted.
He was one of the main Talmidim of Israel's own Milzer, who was considered a Gaon in Europe before World War II.
He's a Gaon in everything. He knew the whole Torah much. And his midos and his Shmira Sinaim, the way he acted, his tefillah, everyone saw who he was.
On Shabbos afternoon, he has 7-10 boys. So he would give a test, every one of them, 10 different mesectors.
He knew it all.
He would ring them out and say, bring him the next one. A holding cup of 10 mesectors. I had a Maggie Cheer. I was living in the Chappelle's, I think, for a couple of months. And the Maggid Shearer had a Shaila in the Gemara we were learning, in the Mephoshim over there. And he was like, just a Gemara. Hey, whatever. He ran to Shmuel Shapiro at the Kosel. He asked him, Shmuel Shapiro started telling him, Rishonim, Achronim, on the Muck, and telling him.
He knew it all.
He says, he knew it better than me. I'm in the Mesechter, and who knows what time, how many years ago he learned the Mesechter, and he just knows a lot. He knew it all.
His grandson, Abbas Frank, said that when he used to sleep in the house, he used to wake them up in the morning. He used to say, Abinu says it's good to look at the sky in the morning, you get a muna. Good morning, come get up, look at the sky, you'll get a muna. That's how he used to wake up, the words of Abinu. Abbasai, you should learn a little bit from his my scene to be sensitive to the others. Not to hurt anyone's feelings, that's fine.